Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
A couple of weeks ago, Charlie and I sat down after dinner to watch a movie. And as I put the movie into the player and I was about to press play, Charlie looked over at me, she smiled, and she said, "You know what I could really use right now? A bowl of ice cream." And so I dutifully got up and I went to the kitchen and I got out Charlie's favorite ice cream. And as I was about to serve it, a voice came ringing from the living room. "McLean, I want a generous scoop." And so I served the ice cream, and I brought it to her, and I put the bowl in her hands. And Charlie sat there, and looking at the bowl without taking her eyes off it, or looking or touching the spoon, she said, "McLean, this is not enough." This morning, we're going to be exploring the theme of generosity as expressed in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 8. Now, for many of us, we understand generosity in the same way that Charlie understands a generous scoop of ice cream. There is an expectation that we have. There is a standard that we all have agreed to, and those who are generous are the ones who go above and beyond that standard or that expectation. When I was growing up, I worked my summers mowing lawns. And when I think about the people who I understand to be generous from where I grew up, they are the people who always paid me more than what I charged them to mow their lawn. We have this idea that generosity is something that we do. It's an act. It is a giving of our resources above what is expected of us. But the problem is that when we view generosity in these terms, as a measurement of going above and beyond what is expected, we quickly discover that there is simply never enough. When I try to practice generosity, I always hesitate because I'm not sure there's going to be enough for me. There's never enough money. There's never enough time. There's never enough comfort, enough love, enough safety. There's never enough. Dr. Brené Brown is a professor and researcher, an author and a speaker. And she describes this idea that there is never enough as the culture of scarcity. The culture of scarcity claims that there are not enough resources, whatever those resources might be, love, wealth, whatever it is, there's not enough resources in our minds to go around for everyone. And so my reaction to that scarcity is to bottle up my generosity, my giving, and hold it close to my heart. How can I truly love someone if I'm not sure that I'm truly going to be loved back? There simply is not enough love. Now, I think that there are lots of consequences for this culture of scarcity, but the best one that I can think of right now is what I would call the great toilet paper crisis of the first 2 weeks of the COVID virus. If you went into Walmart or Costco or your local grocery store in those first 2 weeks, you simply could not find toilet paper. And not only that, but if you did find toilet paper, you ran the risk that you might find yourself in a wrestling match over that last package. That's what a culture of scarcity looks like in a humorous way. Now, I'm not trying to shame you if you have been stockpiling toilet paper. Charlie and I have enough toilet paper to TP every house on Normal Hill. We're in the same boat. But there are other resources that are more important than toilet paper that we operate from a culture of scarcity. And in our passage this morning, Paul offers an alternative, because when generosity is coupled with scarcity, the idea that there is not enough, then we can truly never be generous. When our first thought is, do I have enough to give beyond what is expected of me, what is the standard, we are robbed of the joy of participating in God's mission of generosity to the world. So let us look at the alternative that Paul gives us. We will be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. And they did even more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty, he could make you rich. Paul offers us an alternative vision of what generosity looks like. For Paul, generosity is not rooted in the idea that there is not enough, and if there is enough, maybe I'll give beyond what is expected. That's not where Paul understands generosity to be found. Paul urges the Christians in Corinth to discover that giving yourself is the root of generosity. He says in verse 5, they, and when he says they, he means the Macedonian churches, they even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them. This is what a generous life looks like. A generous life is marked by the giving of self to God and to others. Now, what does that look like, to give yourself? At the end of our time this morning, we will have an opportunity to reflect on that. But before we do so, I think it's important to understand what giving yourself is not. Giving yourself is not based on measuring to an expectation. When we give ourselves, we do not first ask, what is expected of me? When we give in that way, we become imprisoned to that expectation. That expectation will guide and direct and never challenge us to go beyond anything that is already expected. But Paul bases his giving of self on something else. He bases it on the truth that in Jesus Christ, we have more than what is enough. We do not ask the question, is there enough, when we give from a generous life. We understand that in the grace of Jesus Christ, we have more than we possibly could need. One of my favorite worship songs growing up was a song called Enough. And the chorus said, all of you, Lord, is more than enough for all of me. For every thirst and every need. You need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. Paul makes this abundantly clear in verse 9 of our passage. He says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. By the poverty of Jesus Christ in giving himself on the cross, we have more than enough. We are rich. And when you are rich in the grace of Jesus Christ, you become generous. And the source of that generosity is joy. Paul says in verse 2 of our passage, again, of the Macedonians, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in generosity. Generosity is always rooted in the knowledge of the grace of Jesus Christ and in the joy that that knowledge brings. I want you to think about the people in your life that you consider to be generous. One of my very best friends is also one of the most generous people I have ever met. And this generous person will give you things. He'll share his resources with you if you are in need. He'll make sure that you have what you need in order to be able to accomplish a task. He is generous with his food and with his time. But those are the consequences of his generosity. His generosity comes from something else. His generosity comes in the knowledge of the joy of the grace of Jesus Christ. That is where we find our generosity. To live a generous life is to be joyful and to have that joy overflow to other people. Our world needs that generosity rooted in the knowledge of God's grace and in the joy that comes from that. We joke about a scarcity of toilet paper, but the culture of scarcity is taking serious tolls in people's lives at this time. People are asking the question, are there enough resources for my family to be safe? Are there enough hospital supplies for us to treat the sick? Is there enough money for me to be able to pay my rent, to put food on the table? Is there enough comfort out in the world right now because I feel immensely alone and isolated? The culture of scarcity is running rampant in our lives right now. And what our world needs is not actions of generosity that are based on the idea, can I go beyond what is expected of me? What our world needs right now is the generous life that is rooted in Jesus Christ and comes from joy. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, how do I live a generous life? Or in the words that we shared earlier, how do I give myself to God's mission of generosity to the world? That is a hard question to answer. And in all honesty, I don't think I can tell you how you are to live a generous life yourself. There is no blueprint for it. God will call each of us to live a generous life in different ways. But I do believe that there are common traits, characteristics, themes that we, as we live a generous life, will practice together. And I want to share with you this morning, in way of closing our time together, three of those themes that I think are important. The first one is this. Generosity will be measured by relationship, not by resources. I think here of the story of God's immense generosity when Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus, his disciples, are living in a culture of scarcity. Jesus, there's not enough bread and fish to feed all of these people. Where is this food going to come from? In other words, how can we be generous? Jesus isn't calculating baskets of bread. We are told that Jesus is moved by compassion. Compassion is about relationship. When we practice a life of generosity, a generous life, when we live in that truth and that grace and that joy, we will focus not on resources, we will focus on people. A generous life is always not about what we give, about who we take care of. The second theme of a generous life is that when we experience and live out a generous life, we will beg to be a part of God's mission of generosity to others. Paul says in verse 4 of the Macedonians, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, but when I practice generosity in my life, it often feels like a chore. It's something that I feel like I have to do. I have to determine what that standard, what that expectation is, and if I determine that I have enough to get there, maybe, just maybe, I can bring myself to go above and beyond. Generosity in my life is often done not with a heart of joy, but with a heart of sadness, of ridicule. Why do I have to give the things that I've been given? That's not a life of generosity. A life of generosity is lived in begging the Lord for opportunities to give. It's looking for the opportunities to love another in the joy that we have in knowing that Jesus Christ, again, He is enough. We will beg for those opportunities. And then finally, the third theme of living a generous life is this. We will come to know the Lord as the God who gives Himself generously to us. Paul makes this abundantly clear in our scripture this morning. God has given Himself to us so that we can give ourselves to others. And as we live a generous life, we will have an encounter with the generous one. The generosity of the Lord is shown throughout scripture. The greatest example, of course, is the giving of Himself. The giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross in forgiveness of our sins. That is the root of all our generosity. But generosity is a theme that plays all throughout Scripture. Now, it can be dangerous to say that the Bible is about this particular topic or this particular theme. Scripture is far too diverse to distill it to one idea. But I do think it is helpful from time to time to look at Scripture from a particular angle. And if we look at Scripture from the angle of generosity, we see that the story of Scripture, the story of God's love for us, is simultaneously the story of God's generosity to us. The generous one creates a world and invites humanity to be caretakers in that world. And when we reject that opportunity, when we reject that grace, the generous one comes back to us and generously offers himself in covenant with the Israelites. And he generously leads them out of Egypt into the promised land. And when they begin again and again and again to worship other gods, he generously calls them back to him again and again and again. And they reject it again and again and again. And the generous one comes to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and offers himself to us on the cross. And then as the Son goes to sit at the right hand of the Father, the generous one sends us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in his generosity, he sustains us and provides for our needs and guides us. And we are told that at the end of time, the generous one will come to us again. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And in his generosity, he will create a new heaven and new earth in which we stand in his generosity for all time. We will know the one who is generous as we live generous lives. And so our challenge this morning is not to live in a culture of scarcity, not to live as if generosity were a measurement of a standard and expectation and going beyond that standard, but to live a life in which we know that Jesus Christ is certainly enough. And in that knowledge and in that joy that comes from it, to give ourselves fully to a world who is in need of the generosity of the Lord. Let us pray. God of mercy, God of all good gifts, we come to you this morning, Lord, with gratitude in our hearts that you are the generous one. And in your generosity, you call all of us to participate in the mission of generous love and care and in sharing that you are giving to the world as we speak. Challenge us, Lord. Help us to see that you are more than enough, and give us the joy of knowing that in that love and in that knowledge, we too can participate in your grace and mercy that you offer to others. We pray these things in Christ's name.